The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Lord, all right, all right. To silence our voices. Yes. Let's get on with the show here. This is the second hour of the National Intel Report. John Stadmiller, God bless your soul for what you've given us. We're going to continue on your legacy and make it stronger. I'm glad to be a part of this. I really am. But yeah, like I said, we're going to continue on the show and get back to the theme here. The police misconduct. Yeah. Well. Oh boy. This next one's kind of a serious one. And remember what I said about testosterone? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just keep that in back of your mind. Let's go ahead and play that one.
Good evening. The case of PC David Carrick has shone a searing light upon yet more scarcely believable failings by London's Metropolitan Police, even by the force's now historically low standards. Today, PC Carrick pleaded guilty to 24 rapes and as many other crimes against women, 12 different women, including attempted rape, sexual assault, and possessing a gun to cause fear. During his reign of terror, which lasted 18 years, the Metropolitan Police had 9 opportunities to stop him and didn't. He used his status as a police officer, an armed police officer, to trick them, control them, and silence them. He's also set back trust in the Metropolitan Police, rocked by other scandals. The Commissioner of the Force, Sir Mark Rowley, accepted it had failed and said he needed to be ruthless in rooting out those who corrupt its integrity.
As a Metropolitan Police officer, PC David Carrick was supposed to protect people. Instead, he preyed on them. A serial rapist who used his position first to seduce and then to scare his victims into staying silent. In court today, he admitted to a terrifying total of 49 offences, nearly half of them rape charges, prompting the head of the force he worked for to apologise to the women he abused.
I recognise that we failed and that I'm sorry and that I know we've let women down. I have tens of thousands of great men and women who really care about policing London. But it's also very obvious I have hundreds of people who shouldn't be here, and we haven't been tough enough about dealing with that.
PC Carrick worked as an armed officer in the Parliamentary and Diplomatic Protection Command. During almost 2 decades of service, he abused that position to gain his victims' trust.
PC David Carrick repeatedly humiliated his victims, locking women in the understairs cupboard of his Hertfordshire home or forcing them to clean the house naked. He referred to women as his slaves, telling them when they could sleep and eat, and in some cases, urinating on them.
But his crimes went undetected by the force he worked for, despite his behaviour being brought to its attention no fewer than 9 times. In 2000, Carrick was accused of burglary and sending abusive messages. Despite this, he passed the vetting procedure to join the Metropolitan Police the next year. Whilst serving, he was accused of harassment and assault in 2002 and a domestic incident in 2004, despite several more allegations against him, none of which led to criminal prosecutions. Carrick was successfully re-vetted in 2017. In July 2021, after being arrested on suspicion of rape, he was placed on restricted duties. But 2 months later, those restrictions were lifted after the charges were dropped. It was only in October 2021 that he was finally suspended from the Met after another accusation of rape by a woman he'd met on a dating app.
This is a man who relentlessly degraded, belittled, sexually assaulted, and raped women. As time went on, the severity of his offending intensified as he became emboldened, thinking he would get away with it.
And for 18 years, he did.
This appalling incident represents a breach of trust. It will affect people's confidence in the police, and it's clear that standards and culture need to change.
PC David Carrick's crimes have had a devastating impact on the lives of 12 women. His police force's failure to detect them has destroyed the trust of millions more. Chloe Keady, News at 10.
And our UK editor Paul is with me. I mean, it is really hard to overstate how grave this is. This goes to the heart of the questions about policing by consent. It goes beyond the Met and, as you know, beyond policing too.
Yeah, I mean, David Carrick was a predator dressed as a protector of women, but his uniform really oughtn't have provided much of a disguise. I mean, the number of missed opportunities here to stop his behaviour can only point to abject failure by the Metropolitan Police. We're talking about opportunities in 2001, 2002, 2004, 2009, 2016, 2017, 2019 and 2021. And on that last occasion, the Met was in the middle of professing that it was going to stop this kind of behaviour, just as it was continuing to harbour a rapist within its ranks. Today, the Metropolitan Police Commissioner says that there may be 1,000 Met staff who are potentially posing a danger to the public. But as you say, it doesn't just dwell within the ranks of the Metropolitan Police. I think this is now appearing to be a cultural issue across what I would deem, or you might deem, the hero services, the fire and the police services. We reported last month, for example, on South Wales Fire and Rescue Service, which is facing an independent review of its culture because of the behaviour towards women that we uncovered there. There seems to be this issue of a macho culture in the fire and the police service, of an antiquated culture, of a power dynamic that allows them to abuse vulnerable people that they are supposed to help to protect. Other institutions, other sectors have had their kind of wake-up moment, whether it's the church or whether it's the media. I think that is what the police and the fire service are now going through. And if they don't reform, they really are facing a crisis of trust.
Indeed. OK, Paul, thank you very much indeed for that.
Yeah. So, remember what I said about the standards of the individuals hired into police departments? We used to want to be heroes. The people that wanted to join law enforcement wanted to be superheroes, wanted to protect and serve. Now, the only people who fill out applications to become police are criminals waiting to do criminal activities. They just want their activities protected. Yeah, there are some cases where people who actually have criminal records are being hired. What is the point in having a police force then? I guarantee you, some woman would have defended herself, would have killed this man, if they had the right to carry guns. There wouldn't have been 18 years of raping and enslaving women. It would not, that wouldn't have existed. That wouldn't have happened if they had the right to carry guns. Self-protection. You've got, I mean, in the UK, I mean, what are you going to do? When one of them decides to take your life, they're going to take your life. At least in the U.S., I mean, you're going to defend yourself. You might be charged with murder or manslaughter or whatever, but at least you have the opportunity to protect yourself. I would rather be accused of murder than to be enslaved and raped for prolonged periods of time. I'd rather fight it in court after killing this scumbag. They don't have the option. People in the UK do not have the option of self-defense. And you see what happens. It is suspected, you heard it right there, it's not just one individual, there are thousands of individuals in the police force, in the metro, suspected of this level of criminality. That's a standing army of thugs, rapists, and thieves. Empowered and protected by the state. Modern day Gestapo. Now they removed the guns from people in Canada. I know the Canadians are quite nice people, but I'm pretty sure they have their share of scumbags in their police departments. I'm pretty sure of that. One bad apple does compromise the entire bunch. It absolutely does. Oh boy. You know what? Let's go ahead and hit the phone lines here. We've got Ed in Florida, line one. Go ahead, Ed.
Hey, good show tonight. Yeah, we're in a deep police state. I mean, there's no doubt about it. The police are, you know, they shouldn't be given the immunity they are, and it's so deep everywhere. And, you know, the federal police and stuff, they're all across the country, and they're just, you know, and then, you know, just... everything about the police state needs to be calmed down. But we're not going to get it done with Democrats or Republicans because they're both beholden to them. They both worship at the police state. A good, I don't know if you ever read this book, but in the last 10 years, one of my top 10 books I read was Battlefield America. That's by Whitehead, the Rutherford Institute. And, you know, in Battlefield America, I think it was 2015 it came out, he gets into how... you know, our whole police state became militarized and how they started, you know, bringing back all these old weaponries and tanks and stuff. Like, I live a little bit north of Orlando. Orlando has a tank. Why do they need a tank? But they have, you know, and everybody's got SWAT teams. The Department of Education got SWAT teams. I mean, it's just crazy how much of a police state we have. It's not good. And you know, we need to be, the qualified immunity needs to be restructured. But, you know, both, you know, Trump's not going to come out against the police. Democrats aren't, you know, Biden's beholden to them, the unions and stuff. It's a pretty deep, deep situation. But Battlefield America is definitely worth reading because it really gets into in depth about it.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I mean, politicians definitely are not going to turn because it's not going to... the police aren't going to be reshaped or put into control until the people
do it. Exactly. And that's where we got to start doing it. You know, we got
to
start.
Well, we have to take away the ability to say, you know, our tax dollars are automatically going to go here, or automatically going to go there. We need to have the, we need to go to city council, wherever you are. You as a citizen, review applications, vote on the police officers, vote on their salary, and check them out annually. What kind of record do they have? Should they be removed? Should they be put on permanent desk duty? These kind of things. And we the people, vote on the money that they get. And if we have, yeah, if we do that, then you know what? We could probably tell, you know, officer whoever, go arrest the governor. He's committing treason. We would have that kind of power. I mean,
we can't, you know, you've heard about the constitutional sheriff. That's a good movement to go to. The people that sign up for the constitutional sheriff and get the sheriff behind the county law enforcement. And like you said, we need to start holding them accountable at our local meetings and keep the police local and under our control, not under the federal government's control. And today there's just way, way too many people under the federal government control. And they, you know, they have these buildings and they kind of control the police force, you know, in the counties and the states by having that power.
Well, it's funny to say that because the only two types of people that can actually arrest the president is a constitutional sheriff or a Texas Ranger. So that tells you a lot. We really need to take the power back. I do agree. There's got to be a vetting process for everything and done by the people. Was there anything else you wanted to add?
Well, for more information, go to the Rutherford Institute and also check out, you know, like I said, Battlefield America. There's really good stuff on how our police, you know, situation got out of control. And unfortunately, you know, both Republicans and Democrats are beholden to them and like to shine their shoes.
Absolutely. All right, yeah. Good place to find info. All right, thank you. And, so I do believe, and this is something that I want to cover, but first, before we get specific, I want to go ahead and go over this one, and this is, a TYT clip here. The first one was too, which I'm surprised they actually did a good job covering that situation with the gangbang cop. But let's go ahead and play this next clip.
Very sad story. Mississippi trooper decides to physically assault a handcuffed black male, and then proceed to arrest individuals who are recording this assault, all right? There's a viral video from Macomb, Mississippi. It shows a Mississippi Highway Patrol officer beating a handcuffed suspect on the side of the road. Here's the first video.
This man just got through jumping on this man while he was in the car, y'all. Yeah, we looking at you choke the man. That's why you told us to stop. We looking at you choke the man. We gonna stay back, but we gonna record you. We gonna record you. We want to know why you was in that car. We want to know why you was in the car jumping on him. We want to know why you was in the car jumping on him. We want to know why you was in the car jumping on him.
Put your hand on me, bro. Hey, who you here, bro?
Just wait. Man, don't grab him. Hey, man, don't do that, bro. Hey, I got his ass on live. He got a handcuff, man. You said you ain't had no business jumping on him. Look at this. man.
In the car.
Look at this, y'all. Look at this. He got on handcuffs.
He got on handcuffs. Yeah, bitch. We got.
We don't care. You need to be gone. You need to be gone.
Very sad. I have more video and more egregious activity from the police. The individual they were assaulting, his name is Eugene Lewis. Eugene Lewis was in handcuffs, okay? And individuals standing by were recording. These were his brothers. There was a back and forth between law enforcement and the brothers. Here it is.
Hey, you remember John Floyd? That's how John Floyd died right there. Hey, he got handcuffs on him. You was in the car jumping on him. You shut up. Ain't no shut up. We don't give a damn. You was just in the back seat beating him up.
Man, we can do what we want to do. This is a public
man, take us to jail. We don't mind going to jail, but this ain't right. We just caught the state trooper in the back seat. He ran us off. He was in the back seat beating him up.
You ain't been shooting like that.
We ain't bothering me. We ain't doing nothing. You done threw him down. Now he got to get up. Get on, let the man break your wrist, man. The man trying to hurt you, bro. He got to be the police, because when he came, look at this. He kicking him, man.
The men who decided to stay are good men. They knew what they were sacrificing potentially by remaining there. The officer said, y'all going to jail. No criminal activity had taken place between those recording and the police. They stayed far back and engaged in recording, which they are legally allowed to do in the state of Mississippi. According to the men, they actually caught this particular Mississippi state trooper beating up their brother in the back seat of the vehicle. And they decided to start recording. They wanted to know why. Why was this happening? Why were they engaged in this kind of criminal activity? The officer then proceeds to tell them, you better leave, basically. You better leave, because if you're here when the cops show up, you're going to jail. He wanted them to be gone. He wanted them to exit the area. He wanted them to shut up about what they saw. They said, we're okay with going to jail. We're okay. We're not going anywhere. We don't care if the cops are coming. We're going to wait on them. The scene continues with a white bystander taking the side of the officer before the officer starts to approach the brothers. Here it is.
What you asking? You said what you need me to help you do.
Police officer, bro. So? I don't know him, but you don't know him.
He jumping on our brother. Somebody jumping on you.
I'm just standing here.
It's our brother.
I ain't fucking done nothing.
Don't somebody.
Well, he ain't asked you to leave now, time.
Yelling at
him. He ain't asked you to leave.
You. You.
He ain't asked you to leave now, time.
No, hey, we still got you.
For what?
So we don't care.
For what? For what?
We ain't did nothing.
For what?
We ain't did nothing.
For what?
For recalling you.
No, sir. Because you going to jail.
I tell you right now, y'all still here when these other folks get here.
We going to wait on the police. We going to show these videos. I ain't waiting on you, y'all. Man, we waiting. Wait, listen, don't act like we trying to jump on you. We recording what you doing. We recording what you doing. All we doing recording what you doing. You going first. We waiting on them. Don't get in that car. What? I ain't getting in no car.
Turn around, put your hand on your head.
This is so damn sad. They are engaged in legal behavior. Recording a public official, recording a cop, is 100% legal in the state of Mississippi. But these cops wanted to put them in their place. A white male bystander starts to interfere, and he's not told to get back in his car. The white male bystander is not told to be quiet. He's escalating things. The white male bystander is not told, listen, you need to stop because this is not making things better. He was allowed to walk freely. to proceed to go up and down that street freely with absolutely no rebuttal from law enforcement. Utah officers, specifically two white Utah officers, they see a black male bleeding to death and they do absolutely nothing to assist, and the man bled out. Let me show you a picture of the victim and his sons, okay? He actually has four sons. 39-year-old Ryan Outlaw is the victim of two white Utah officers who decided to stand over this black male after he was stabbed. They stood over this victim for 8 minutes, refusing to give first aid. Because of the officer's deliberate inaction, the victim, Ryan Outlaw, died 2 hours later. Outlaw's girlfriend, Fernando Tabor, called 911 the night of November 13, 2020, asking for help because Mr. Outlaw had been stabbed in an apartment building. Another call came in from a neighbor notifying the police there was a fight happening in the hallway, per Fox's report. Tobar told the police he was crying for help and limping toward the elevator. Now, let me say this. When I watched the video, unfortunately, we're unable to show it in this format. It was very clear the officers had absolutely no inclination to save the life of this victim. As a matter of fact, when the girlfriend said, "Why are you letting him bleed out like this? Why won't you help him?" One of the officers responded and said, "That's not my job. Paramedics on the way. All right, that's not what I do." I'm paraphrasing. That's basically what they said. Officers Ian Anderson and Jada Brown arrived 27 minutes after the 911 call. Ryan Outlaw already waited approximately 27 minutes for police to arrive after that call. According to the Salt Lake City Police Department, the reason the response took that long was because there weren't any officers available to respond for 20 minutes. It was not immediately known by officers that Tobar, the girlfriend, was the stabber. However, even Fernanda was pleading with the officers, talking about the young woman who stabbed him, was pleading with the officers, "Please help him. What am I supposed to do?" The officer said, "We have medical coming. We're not paramedics," Officer Anderson said. So what is happening here? The girlfriend stabs the guy. She's remorseful because obviously he's going to die without intervention. So he's bleeding out. They're all witnessing the same thing. They're witnessing a man die in front of them. Police arrive. The police tell her, "We're not going to do nothing. That's not our job. Paramedics on the way."
Yeah, well, first off, I'm going to say them saying they're not paramedics, that's a lie. They have training. They have first aid training. They also have some paramedic training. Now, me, just as a former soldier in the Army, it was mandatory. All soldiers go through combat medic training. I learned first aid. I learned combat medic training. There's a standard of training that's given to any law enforcement or personnel working for the government at a capacity of some enforcement. I wasn't just trained to shoot a gun. I was trained to save lives as well. So these cops should be ashamed of themselves. We're going to get to the phones after this commercial break, ladies and gentlemen. If you want to call in, go ahead and call in as well. But we'll be right back. Stay tuned.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Farron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules, like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Listen, news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote With Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist, and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty, or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead. And when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. Patricia, excellent herbal formula. I use Extendivite to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Brian, I'm using Extendivite, and for me, it has made a world of difference. God made all these nutrients in the ground. Enough said. Cammy, 5 stars. I feel a lot of energy since I started taking Extendivite. TR, 5 stars. All I can say is Extendivite works. Buy it, try it, and see for yourself. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with
And we are back. Yes. Let's go ahead and hit those phone lines. Got Dave in Nevada, line one. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing?
All right. How are you doing, brother?
I'm doing all right. I had a couple of comments to make on this whole policing thing. Let's see. I knew a girl that was, I didn't know her, but I knew of someone that knew of a girl that was murdered and raped by a police officer like a long time ago. And this was in the United States, and I don't know how often it happens in the United States, but given the fact that these types of things tend to be covered up, it would probably be a lot more frequent than, people would give it credit for. With or without gun ownership, most people don't carry anyways in most states and most cities. So it's, to me, the whole, I don't know what to say about how much the gun ownership is going to help people in those types of situations. especially,
well,
if
it's
going to
make you think twice, at least. It's going to make you think twice.
Well, I don't think it's going to make a cop think twice if they pull someone over and they're pretty sure that person doesn't have a gun on, especially if it's a female. That's just my opinion. But another thing is, What was I going to say? Have you heard this? Have you heard about this cop city in Alabama?
Cop city?
Yeah, it's actually called Cop City. They are developing this place called Cop City, and it's a compound. It's going to be a bit like a military compound. It's going to be a training ground. And it's going to, they're basically, this story just came out, like, I guess today, and there are people protesting, and there was, like, a little bit of a shootout. Someone got killed, and it involved the cops. But they're taking it over, and they're going to chop down all these trees and have a military training, like a police training program. And it's all secretive and stuff. And this is, and people are protesting it. And so there's that aspect of it to the militarization, which is, it's already been here, but it's just going to get ramped up. And to me, these types of issues should be a lot more concerning to the average American person than what's happening in places like China or the Ukraine. The issue with policing is so, it's so day-to-day and part of everyone's life that they don't even notice it, but it's much more important to an average American what's going on here with basically, they're basically the military in the United States. They're basically acting in a military, kind of a paramilitary position. And so that's how they've conquered the United States through the police. And I heard you guys talking about the
politicians. I don't disagree.
Yeah. And I heard you guys talking, just the last caller, about politicians not really saying anything about the police. Well, if you really look at why that is, it's because if you think about it, the cops, the police, what they are really, they're security guards for politicians. That's what they are.
They're enforcers.
So why would it,
yeah.
Yeah, so why would any politician speak out against their own security officer? They won't. Why would they do that? They're acting against their own interests. You go to a board, like a school, you go to a school board meeting, those police officers are there to arrest you, not the school board. They're there for you. You're not going to go and say, "Hey, officer so and so, arrest that guy up there. He's showing foul material to my children." You think that police officer is going to do anything? No.
No.
And that's why that's why this issue is so much bigger than, you know, this whole thing, like with World War III, I admit that it's a distinct possibility, but we still have yet to deal with certain issues on our own soil that are affecting us like on a day-to-day basis that we don't even see because we're so concerned about all these, I think it's a distraction.
We got homelessness. We have, you know, poisoned water up in Flint. You know, a failing automotive industry. We've got to get stuff back. Yeah,
right.
There's stuff that we need to fix before we're worried about anybody else. Yeah, I've been saying that for years.
And so, in other words, if we're divided here along these very basic lines, there's no point in even dealing with. Even talking about whether or not we buy Chinese goods at Walmart, that's not even, to me, that's just it's a non-issue in a way, because there's so many other things that we need to take care of on a very practical level. You're not going to stop Chinese goods from coming to the United States. Do you ever, that's just not going to happen. You want to focus on things that have like a real, like a real day-to-day life and death situation that's going to affect you eventually. You're going to come in, you know, if you're an adult, especially if you're a male, you're going to encounter a few police officers in your lifetime, and not all of them are going to be good.
That's a fact.
And yeah, that's a fact. And this is the funny thing is, they should teach you this stuff in school. What should you do when you encounter a police officer, and what are the possibilities? Because not all the outcomes are going to be good. But they don't teach you about this stuff in school.
I've been saying this one for years as well. Yes, preach on, brother.
No, I mean, like, seriously, your whole life, when did, like, maybe you had, like, in elementary school, you had a police officer show up during, you know, like, career day, but when were you actually educated about what police officers actually do at a traffic stop and what they can do to you? No teacher would ever do that. Not one.
No, it's all about dare and how you should tell on people if they have drugs.
Oh, yeah.
Snitch program. Yeah.
But that's basically what I want to say. It's just that it's all part and parcel with politics. This is why the for instance, I don't know if this is coincidence, but the police officer that shot Ashley Babbitt in Washington D.C., Michael Byrd, he was given a medal, like some kind of medal of honor by Donald Trump. Now, I don't know if this was before or after, but it just goes to show you that these people have no interest. And the thing is, the thing is, Donald Trump mentioned this scenario in passing, but he never really went deep into it. He never discussed it. I don't even know if he actually, I think he may have acknowledged it, and he said, like, he just kind of mentioned her name, and that was it. And the story's just gone. It just disappeared into nothing. But this is why this situation is not going to get solved, I don't think.
Yeah. I mean, again, it's just going to take the people getting fed up. And God knows how long that's going to take. I don't know if the frog is going to jump out of boiling water or not.
No, I understand that, but it takes time for people to realize that you shouldn't be concerned about Russia or Ukraine. You should be concerned about what's going on in the streets, like in your neighborhood.
Who himself said, you know, hey, American people, don't give up your guns. The government's corrupt.
Yeah.
Yo, why are you over here jacking with us? You need to focus on your stuff. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, 100%. I'm not good to screw with anything you said. You're right on it.
And no, because listen, why don't we take care of homeless people first? Why don't we take care of that before we even talk about China or Russia? That's like that's so far out of our realm, out of the realm of the normal human being. We don't make those types of decisions.
I'm going to tell you, as someone who would actually let homeless people, I would give some homeless people a chance, you know, come to stay with me. And as someone who has been a homeless person myself, There's nothing greater than just someone caring and putting a roof over your head. Morale of the country, I think, would be so much better.
And if you look at other countries, you're in Poland, right? You're in Europe or something, right?
Correct.
I don't know how they treat homeless people there, but if you go to other countries, they treat homeless people way differently. There are countries and homeless people they're normal. They're not all dingy. They're like, they live kind of like middle class. They're clean and they live normal lives. And people, like, they interact with the rest of society as if, like, they're part of it. They're integrated into society and no one cares. They don't look at them as a second class citizen.
I would say the homeless people here have a lot of fun. There's no such thing as public intoxication infractions. You can drink in public. Even on public transportation, there are guys getting drunk on the trolleys, having a good time, homeless.
Yeah.
I think a lot of them sleep on the buses and on the trolleys. So, yeah, I would agree. Yeah.
It's a different culture. Different cultures, because if you look at, like, I'll give you an example. If you look like it, if you've read old stories from, like, centuries ago, there are stories about people wandering around and being homeless and how they were led into homes and fed. And that was, like, those are called, like, moral stories. They're supposed to teach you, they're supposed to teach you about life and how to treat people.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. We definitely need to take care of our homeless, and we definitely need to, and we don't need the cops harassing the homeless and killing the homeless. You want to talk about treating people like second-class citizens, they treat them like they're third-class citizens, like they're trash. But, Dave, I want to thank you for calling in. I've got to get to other callers here. You've been a wonderful caller. Thank you very much. And we're going to go to, well, you know, we need, I would like to have a young lady's point of view on tonight's subject. So we're going to bring on Francis from New York, line 3.
Hey, young man.
How are you doing?
Oh my gosh, that was quite a compliment, but I wish I was that young.
You're young at heart, if nothing else.
Oh, listen to you. And before I forget, have a great fun weekend for that matter. As far as the situation goes, I am hearing what I did, for one thing, the news snippet or whatever, I think they needed to handle that a little bit differently because there was so much innuendo, bad puns, and double entendres. I was like, it can't be serious. This can't actually be a news report because it was just unreal.
Well, that's from the Young Turks network.
Oh, okay. Well, that explains a lot then. Yeah. Anyway, aside from that, I think my one question would be is whenever, just like for medical personnel, whether it be paramedics or doctors, nurses, whatever, surely, or even people in the military, surely the everyday police person had been through psychological testing to see where their head is at, as well as some sort of basic medical training. Reason being is that if they've not had psychological training to find out where their head is, they're basically putting someone out there with a firearm that can go slap happy and say, oh, well, I was afraid for my life, and so I had to shoot them. Whether they died or not, that's irrelevant. But it is totally absurd to me compared to what I remember as a child regarding law enforcement. I mean, this day and time,
well,
this turned upside
today,
down.
These days, and I know, I tried to fill out an application. There's two reasons why they wouldn't hire me. I had a couple of traffic tickets on my record. And, well, I was just basically too smart. I was overqualified.
Well, that's true. They don't want someone who's intelligent. They want someone who is sub-level intelligence that they can, never mind.
And a borderline personality. Because if you're borderline, you're an order follower. You have no qualms. Yeah. No morals don't enter in to anything. You just follow orders.
Thank you. Now, yes. One thing I heard, I comprehend on that one report about the person being beaten in a patrol car or whatever, and it was being recorded or whatever. One thing I did not hear is that the officer did not inquire of the fellow that was stabbed, or the workman was stabbed, who was he stabbed by? Never did I hear that being questioned.
I think because, by the girlfriend.
Who what?
I think he was stabbed by the girlfriend, if I heard that correctly.
Well, yeah, but the thing is, they didn't inquire of the person who was stabbed who did it. Because if they had, they would have known to arrest her in the process, as well as having performing some sort of medical assistance to that fella and what he was dealing with. So if anything, she should have been arrested for assault or whatever have you, with a weapon that was weaponized. So
agreed.
There's a lot.
Yes.
I mean, there were so many inconsistencies. It was ridiculous. And I'm like, I mean, somebody can record all they want to, verbally and visually, but that doesn't excuse the police from not doing what they're supposed to be doing. I know at one point, a case in fact, I ended up getting pulled along the road, and that's over here on the east side of Raleigh, and the person who did it was because the insurance carrier said that we did not have insurance on the vehicle, which was a flat-out lie. And because my other half keeps up with that stuff. The person who approached the vehicle, he looked like he was dressed for military. It was not a regular police outfit. And I looked at him, I said, boy, they got you loaded down, don't you? And they didn't respond with any comment after that because they knew that I was aware that they
like
were...
Like a robot.
Dressed, yeah, pretty much. And I was totally floored by it. I mean, they removed the plate and all that. And I told them, I said, so I'm getting ready to go take the vehicle to have it inspected or whatever. You're going to take the plate off the vehicle so I can get her pulled over a second time and be arrested. They didn't say one word. And so I thought, oh, my gosh, this is unspeakable. To say the least, we got it taken care of. But I had never seen that so-called officer again because I wanted to dress them down because one thing, when they addressed me, they did not ask for my registration. They asked for an insurance card. For one thing, an officer will ask for you for your registration, of which you would generally have your insurance card with. So there was a disconnect there. And thus, I'm like trying to comprehend what was going on.
Well, now you're making it sound like a scary campfire story here.
Well, it was. I mean, I'm sitting there, I'm like,
never seen the officer ever again.
Well, I'll put it this way. I just want to make sure that other folks know that there is a certain protocol that an officer is supposed to be addressing the person behind the wheel, you know? And just asking for an insurance card, the person's going to be like drawing a blank as to where is that thing at, and not make the association or connection that they need to be asking for a registration card, which your insurance is going to be with to start with. Now, if they had asked me that to start with, I could have gone right straight to it and given them the insurance card as well. But I was totally drawing a blank. So it was psychological warfare right on the side of the road as well as. So on top of that, I asked for a business card. They refused. That is illegal. So, I mean, once they you ask for a business card, the officer, they have to oblige.
I've always gotten, I don't have on any on me right now. I don't have any. I don't care. Yeah.
I've heard that too, so go figure. And I'm like, excuse me, you don't have a card? So, but anyway, but I was floored, to say the least, but from what I heard on those recordings, it's like, you've got to be joking me. It was like, I mean, I could expect something like that in October for a Halloween or April Fool's or something, but not for everyday life.
Right.
I mean, that's absurd. But anyway, with that, I'll have lime, coconut, and pineapple, and macarona, and all its variants, and play hard and stay mischievous, because the criminals in D.C. stay mischievous all the bloody time. Speaking of which, those three military fellows that was from Camp Lejeune, the Marines, that were arrested, they need to be released. They need to be released. Period.
I'm going to need some more information on that.
Well, it showed up on a local news site for WRAL, and they had it posted there about the three Marines in Camp Lejeune that was arrested that went into the Capitol building that was basically invited in so many words. And basically put a hat on top of the one statue in that round, that big round, I guess, building, rotunda, or whatever you want to call it, as well as post for photos and whatever have you. And I thought, I don't believe this. And they were arrested.
So they were playing around, and they got arrested.
Goofing off. I mean,
these are soldiers.
Yes. I mean, they were declared as being doing unlawful, disruptive behavior. Excuse me. Compared to the politicians in D.C., you're going to tell me that's disruptive and unlawful? When the U.S. citizen taxpayer dollars are going to pay for that building in D.C., I don't think so. They need to get their priorities in order, especially the alphabet soup agency like the FBI. I mean, you talk about something that needs to be reorganized? They do. They need to be cleaned house. Anyway, with that, I'm out of here.
Well, thank you, Frances. Very refreshing and very informative. Absolutely. Wow. It's putting a hat on statues. It's not like they deface property. I mean, no spray paint or anything like that, I assume. But, again, that is the police state that we're in. I'm looking to see some frogs hopping. Because the water temperature is turning up. I'm seeing a few bubbles popping here and there. That's what I'm covering. These bubbles popping on the surface of this heated water that we're all sitting in. I'm jumping. Is anybody else going to join me? Are y'all just going to be food? You gonna frog legs? You gonna feed the French? You gonna be cowards? That should be a new saying. You gonna feed the French? New way of calling somebody a coward. I like that. Anyways, time to do something, people. You see police doing misconduct, record. Despite threat of arrest, I guarantee you, once you're released, you can sue these people and at least get a fat paycheck. I'd rather see tax dollar money going to you, the citizen, rather than the police dog, the government's dogs. We need higher returns on what we're putting into the government. Well, that said, this has been another episode, another Friday of the National Intel Report. God bless John Stadmiller. God bless the listeners. God bless RBN. God bless America. Catch you next week. Take all our money and send it abroad. Take America back. We must take America back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.